Helga Gerhardt has joined me in the studio. And the last time we met, this is to remind our listeners, Helga, the last time we met, you were telling us the amazing story of how you met Adolf Hitler, and he wasn't impressed by you.
No, he wasn't impressed, no. Because I didn't have any Hitler Youth uniform on, you see, because I wasn't German, I was Swiss.
You were Swiss. Let's, for listeners who don't remember the earlier story, because the story continues, it's a three-parter, and part two is now out. But let's go back to part one, and this was the story of how you found yourself caught in Nazi Germany as a Swiss citizen during the war.
That's right, yes. Well, I was born, actually, in East Prussia, near the Lithuanian border. And, of course, when the war broke out, we lived in Königsberg, the capital of East Prussia. At first, it wasn't too bad, the war years, although we had rationing, because everything seemed to be happening in the West. But in 1944, I'm afraid, things turned, because after the lost battle of Stalingrad, the Russians gradually started to push the Germans back, and I'm afraid they eventually did enter East Prussia and got nearer and nearer to the capital of East Prussia, Königsberg, where I lived. At the time, I was a medical student, but I had to finish my studies because the university and also the anatomy were bombed out, and with that, we only had to work in military hospitals.
Was there no way that you... Because you had a Swiss passport, didn't you?
No, I didn't have a Swiss passport because, you see, we children were all registered with my father in his passport.
And his passport was Swiss, though, wasn't
it? Yes, he had a Swiss passport.
What was the problem if he had a Swiss passport? Why couldn't he simply get you and the family across the Swiss border?
Well, he could have done, but the trouble was he wasn't at home when the Russians eventually pushed through. They came so suddenly, and, of course, we never had any real news.
But he was around before. I mean, this is 1944.
He was before. Well, why should he go back? He had his business up there. He had a dairy, several dairies, and if nobody would have bought it, not during the war. So, of course, he just hoped that the Russians would never come, not as far as Tilsit, where his dairy was.
Mm-hmm. But they came.
Well, I'm afraid they did come, yes. And he was separated from him. This was the trouble, because he was in Tilsit, the dairy, when the Russians pushed through in between, and we couldn't get hold of him, and he couldn't get hold of us.
Now, this second book, Helga, the Continuing Story, takes you from that point where the Russians are coming in, does it?
No, the first book finishes actually just after the war, before we returned to Switzerland. And the second book gives, in the first part, a short synopsis of the first book to lead people into it. And then our struggle in Switzerland to start again, and how I came to England and got married. And the struggle I had after that, because my eldest son had cerebral palsy, and I had to try and bring him up, which wasn't very easy, because when he was 18 months old, I was told that he ought to go into a home, as he would never talk or walk. But I could see some intelligence there, and I wasn't going to let him go. And I was very fortunate. I found a physiotherapist in Queen Mary's Hospital, Carshorten, who taught me how to teach Victor how to move his legs. And when he was 4 years old, he even started to talk. Mm-hmm. And gradually, she even got him to do a very slight little bit of walking, which was very hesitant, and it gradually made his limbs deform, and then he had to have quite a number of big operations, which were done in Sheffield. He was 6 months in hospital just at the time when they were the M1 building, so of course it was
now
a long journey for us.
The third book, you're writing that now, are you?
I don't know whether there'll be a third one, because the second book takes us up to our 25th wedding anniversary. And
well, what year was that?
I have to work that out. I was married in 48.
58, 68, 73.
Yes, 73. And, of course, after that, it's really only to tell that...
It's all been pretty quiet since 73.
Well, probably not, but not enough to make it a family story. I think until then I've had the struggle to get Victor on his legs, get him educated, and see that he got some kind of a profession, and also my second son. But after that, I feel it would only be a family story to talk about, and there are plenty of books about.
Excellent. How did the first book go?
The first book sold very well because it happened to be coming out at the time when we had the 50th anniversary of the Normandy landings and the 50th anniversary.
Because the first book had all the adventure excitement, didn't it?
Well, it had the part when I was a refugee, which was, of course, a very hard time. It was something I didn't want to talk about, and eventually, because I wrote about it, I was able to talk.
Anyway, I'd like to give out some details of the book so that you know what to get, but we're going to have to leave that for about 4 or 5 minutes. We're going over to the newsroom now to bring ourselves up to date with what's happening in the world of news. We've got the financial report, we've got the weather, and then we'll be coming back and chatting to Helga and taking your calls on 0121 432 2000.
Your lady came on, Helga.
Yeah, she's with me still.
Yeah, from Königsberg.
That's right.
Now, my wife actually comes from just outside Königsberg, a place which was then called Møringen, and is now Morag. And she would love, I'm sure, to be able to speak to Helga. And she'd like to know in particular,
well,
she's back there.
Is she there now?
My wife's here now.
Well, put her on the phone.
Yeah, certainly. Just
put her on the phone. Then I'll give you the number you want for tinnitus.
Yes, hello.
Hello, I'm supposed to talk to you. What would you like to ask me?
What is your name, darling?
Hildegard.
Okay, Hildegard.
I would like to know if you've been back.
No, I haven't been back, but I've had a school friend who went back and took a video of Königsberg, and it looks terrible. I don't think I want to go back. I want to remember it the way it was when I was young there.
Yeah, I was 13, coming 14 when I left. We were pushed out by the Russians.
Well, yes, we were pushed out too, but I was already 20 by then, so I was a little bit older. Did you do the refugee trek over the Huff, or how did you get out?
We had to get over Danzig, Gdansk.
That's right,
yes. We walked for 8 days and eight nights.
That's right. Well, I walked for 6 weeks. I was 6 weeks on the refugee track. We had to cross the Huff and go along the Nerung, which was very, very bad.
Mm-hmm.
We had no food, and of course, you have no shelter once you cross the ice. Yes. We never got to Gdansk. We had to get out in a different way. And then we got a lift with a train in the end.
That's right. So did us.
Yes.
From Gdansk.
How did you get out, Hildegard?
We, on foot, we had to leave my mother behind because she was in hospital. She had a big operation. Just my father, my brother, my sister, myself.
And you were you all German passports?
Yes.
Yes.
And,
but the Russians had come in and you had to get moving.
It was so quick, you had no time for anything.
That's right,
we
yes.
We thought we were safe, you know.
Yes, well, they didn't tell you the truth,
that's
did they?
That's right.
You know, they kept on hiding that
and,
the Russians were so close.
And just 9 o'clock at night, they knocked on the window and said, the Russians are already a few miles away, you've got to get out quick. And you just run.
What were the Russians, if the Russians were catching up with the civilians, what were they doing?
Oh, I didn't think about it.
What was it? Was it shooting or was it raping?
Raping, shooting, everything. Oh yes.
So you had to get out.
Yeah.
Sure. 6 weeks it took you.
No, it took me 6 weeks.
Took you 6 weeks.
Yes.
How long did it take you, Hildegard?
We left about the 25th of January, and we got about to Berlin in middle of February.
Well, yes. And what did you do in Berlin?
Oh, we just stayed a few days. It was too bad. The bombing was still going on. You see, the war wasn't finished. And we managed to, because we were young children, under 18, they managed to get us out. And if we had have accepted the first posting they gave us, we would have landed back in the East.
Oh, dear.
So luckily, we took the second one because we didn't like the name of the first one. And we took the second one and we landed up in Lüneburger Heide, in just outside Hanover.
That's right. Well, I finished up in Hamburg in the end.
Oh, that's not far either.
No, it isn't, is it?
Yeah.
Okay. Hildegard, thank you for calling. BBC WM. Helga, the continuing story. And I have the book in front of me. It's published by Verona. And it's at $7.99, quite a thick book, $7.99, in soft cover. Hildegard Rose is in Pelsel. Yes, Hildegard?
Can I speak to Helga, please?
Yes, sure.
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah. I used to live in Königsberg myself, and the two of us must have met on the electric trams.
Well, we could have done, yes.
Yes.
Which year were you on the tram?
I used to be on the electric trams.
But what was the year?
Oh, God, forgotten. 1942?
Well, 40? I was 44. 1944, 43-44, during that winter time. Well, there were plenty of girls on the trams, weren't there, because so-called war service.
What was your maiden name, Hildegard?
Funk, F-U-N-K.
Well, that's quite a common name, isn't it?
Yes. We used to live in Velo, the other way down from Königsberg. That's where my parents live, but I live in Königsberg.
Oh, well,
Samariterstrasse.
Well, we lived the other side. We lived in Ratshof,
near
Juditten.
Yeah.
At the end of the tram line number 4.
Yeah. A friend of mine lived there in Tenkitterstrasse.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Well, those are memories, aren't they?
Hildegard.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. Hildegard, I have to move.
Will you buy my first book called Helga? And I do tell a lot about my life.
Now, tell us the Hitler story again for the new listeners.
All right. Well, Hitler came to Königsberg in 1938. He used to travel actually to different towns and make his big speeches. And Hildegard might even remember it. He made a big speech of the Erich Koch Platz. Yeah. And traveling along the roads, of course, there was the Hitler Youth, and they were keeping the people back. But on that particular day, I had bought some flowers because my father only used to come home for the weekend, and I wanted to give him these flowers. I had to cross the road, but of course I couldn't because the road was empty and they were waiting for Hitler's cavalcade to come round the corner. Well, I was 14 and quite daring in those days. I just pushed through the people and I looked. The road was empty, so I thought, right, I'm getting across. I'm afraid I only got halfway across when the cavalcade came round the corner. And there was Hitler standing in the car. Well, one of the SS men jumped off and came towards me, and he just said, "You can give the Führer the flowers." So I looked at him and I said, "Well, they're really for my father." But of course, He pretended he hadn't heard or something, because I couldn't very well stand in the middle of the road with flowers and walk off again. So he just pulled me along. And when I came to the car and Hitler looked at me, I felt quite frightened, because he was such a famous personality. And my arm just came up and he took the flowers, and then he looked at me and he said, "But you are not in Hitler uniform." Because, you see, every child at 10 had to go and join the Hitler Youth, and then you had the uniform on.
Yeah.
So I said, "Well, I'm not German, I'm Swiss." But I don't think he heard it, and people were screaming and shouting and Heil. And so the SS man said, "Well, it's all right, now you can run again to the other side of the road." And that's how I met Hitler.
That's how you met Hitler. Short and sweet.
Yes.
Short and sweet, but far better than some people that met him. Helga, if you want to read Helga or Helga the Continuing Story, Verona are publishing it, $7.99 are the books in softcover, and they're there now.